99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello, it's 9:06 in the morning, and it's all local from here on out till noon at least. I'm your good buddy, John Potter, joining you live and local each and every Saturday from 9 to noon. And in Carson City, helping to run the show, is our good friend Craig Moss. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day outside, and I think we're going to have these beautiful days at least until Tuesday, from what I understand.
On the cold side, 35 degrees, I think, when I was walking over.
Past that homeless man.
Yeah, I got to bring that up. Homeless guy sleeping in front of the restaurant supply company. No, I don't have any solutions, okay? But just a troubling observation. Anyway, how was the week for you, my friend?
It was a very pleasant, quiet, uneventful week. And when that happens in radio, you start to wonder what's going to happen over the weekend.
Yeah, keep your phone with you.
Right, exactly.
Yes, hey. Listen, we are going to go big time into the primary and also the caucus. Now, the early voting for the primary begins today at, less than an hour from now, 10 o'clock this morning. So after this first segment, it's going to be all about this. Chuck Muth is going to join us, and the primary, the caucus, and Haley and Trump. And, of course, Biden, we're going to get it in 45 minutes this hour, starting at 9:15. In the meantime, what a week, man. So I went to Walmart for deodorant yesterday, and I was shocked to see them all lined up in a locked cabinet. The deodorant. Deodorant! Lowly deodorant! Which is not jewelry or... what else do they lock up? Shavers or cologne. Deodorant. It's come to this, folks. Deodorant is under lock and key, and you must call for an associate to come over and unlock the case. Like they do for me in Rogaine. And watch you. They'll unlock the case, and they'll watch you take your right guard under their watchful eye. Dad would never believe this, but yeah, you were shocked to hear that, Craig.
Oh yeah. I figure the people taking it are the ones that need it the most.
Well, let's not judge. Speaking of stores, Trader Joe's has confirmed, they're opening up a new store in, Reno. There's one in Reno now, of course, it's Smithridge Plaza. Packed to the gills with people. And there's one in Carson City on South Carson near Topsy Lane. They didn't say exactly where this new Reno store, this Reno new Trader Joe's is going to be. Could it be in the empty Orvis store at Sierra Summit? Well, the mall would only say a specialty grocer is moving into the old Orvis store at Summit Sierra. Oh, that could be Aldi's, too. You know? But if it's the next Trader Joe's there, that's going to disappoint folks big time who live in Sparks. I know people, some people in Sparks for years have been writing letters to Trader Joe's to please have a Trader Joe's here in Sparks. And North Reno people who have to drive a ways to get to the one already in South Reno or get one even in downtown. You know, the last grocery we had downtown was Mayfair Market, and that was in the early 1980s when it closed. But Sierra Summit, that wouldn't be too bad, I guess. It'll take the pressure off the crowded Joe's on South McCarran of Virginia, and there are persistent rumors also that say a Trader Joe's is eventually going to come to Spanish Springs near Costco. We'll be watching. Okay, so NFL, big time tomorrow. You excited? I don't even know, Craig, if you're a football fan or not.
I think I've watched maybe 2 minutes all season.
Okay, that's how I used to be. But my wife got me into it, and this is the first year, I have to say, last year it was the first that I actually got hooked on football. I never watched it. I didn't even know what, until last year, what this first down, second down business was. Dad didn't watch football, so, you know, I didn't take it up. But now, oh man, so many people are excited. Chiefs and Ravens at noon tomorrow on CBS and Paramount Plus. Wow, I might watch Channel 2 again. Yeah, it's been 3 years. And of, 3:30 tomorrow, it's Lions and 49ers on Fox 11. Craig is tuning out now. By the way, I'm rooting for the Lions just to tick people off. That's just me. So, Craig, I assume you not being into this football, you're not betting, are you?
No, I'm not a gambling person.
See, I am not either. To me, it's such a risky situation. I'm like you. I count my dollars, you know. And to me, do you put it all on the line? I just can't bring myself to do it. Not me. I always think back to Paul McGuire, former college football, NFL, and AFL player. This guy spent decades also as a sports broadcaster. I mean, he spent like close to 50 years he was in the biz, 50 years experience with professional football, and he was a better, and he could not pick his nose. If a guy like that can't do it. And I learned the lesson myself when I first moved to Las Vegas in the mid 80s. I had a friend with a computer, and every week this friend would put in all the player stats and the weather and everything, and this computer would come out with the picks, and I would bet the picks. And I came out about 50% lucky and 50% unlucky. This is a game, I think, of luck. It depends too much on if the quarterback had a good night, biorhythms, I don't know, you know, if they're in a good mood. It depends on how the wind is blowing, which could knock off some field goals. So that's the way I look at it. I'm very different, I'm sure, from most of you. But anyway, if the Chiefs lose, don't you think the NFL is going to invite Taylor Swift to the Super Bowl? You know? But doesn't that make, since she's brought so many fans to football, she sold zillions of tickets. You know, we have young girls now who are big football fans because of Taylor Swift. And by the way, there was a story out this week. Oh, my God. They got to do something about AI. There was a whole bunch of dirty Taylor pictures. And she's wearing Casey garb, of course, but not much. All over the internet. And this stuff has had millions of views. Dirty Taylor pictures. What are they going to do with AI? There's got to be some new laws on this. It's ridiculous. All right. Oscars. Oscar nominations this week. Best Picture nominations. There are 10. I looked at the list of 10. I've seen two of them. And when I talk to others, they say the same thing. It's always Barbie and Oppenheimer. I thought Barbie was okay. I thought it was overlong, but okay. You know, I had a real problem with Oppenheimer, though, if you haven't seen it. And, oh, my gosh, talk about overlong. But that's not the big issue with me and Oppenheimer. It is full of nefarious villains over this incredible scientific advance made by some very intelligent, brilliant, genius United States scientists. You know, this, whatever the invention did, it was out of their hands. But, oh my gosh, everybody's a crook in this movie. And it really smears the brave people who were able to end the war with Japan earlier. So in Oppenheimer, yeah, they're all gangsters and they wear the you know, the gangster hats and everything. I know that's a style back then, but still very, I just was really let down that this feeds into what young people think of our democracy, of our republic, and of all the good things that we gave to the world through science. And you can debate, of course, whether or not it was good. Still, it was something that at the time people were proud of, that we were able to save tens of thousands of soldiers with the War of Japan by ending it earlier. Anyway, I'm going over long, and that's why I'm in talk radio. I can fill 3 hours off the top of my head. But we're going to talk about the primary and the caucus. Nevada primary opens up today for early voting. Starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll get to the locations, and we're going to talk to Chuck, of course, the expert, and talk about the difference, of course, between the caucus and primary. People are, kind of really understand this setup, but they're pissed off about it. So we're going to get into that. I'm John Potter, phone number 884-9910. So primary caucus up next on this all-local show, live and local, every Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 9:17.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
All right, John Potter back with you. Hi, folks. Okay, let's get into it. Early voting for Nevada's presidential primary starts today at 10 a.m. There are 16 locations in Washoe County, including libraries, Reno Town Mall, Washoe County Complex, and Spark City Hall in Carson City, 10 a.m. to 2 today at the Carson City Community Center, and places in all other counties. Early voting goes from now until Friday the 2nd. Primary election day is on the 6th. Nevada primary results are expected February 8th. And Chuck, I just drove by the Mountain View Cemetery, and the DNC is already out there harvesting ballots.
Surprising, they are way ahead of Republicans in ballot harvesting. It started in some other states years ago, and they've just expanded it nationally, or tried to expand it nationally. It has expanded into Nevada. The legislature, in a special session in the middle of the 2020 election cycle, changed it from an illegal practice to a legal practice. They changed the rules in the middle of the game. I'm not happy with the rule. I think it's wrong, but that is the rule, so we got to play it that way.
Well, it's funny. I said it as a joke. You ran with it. You're absolutely right. Okay, Chuck Muth is a local political activist, author, speaker, blogger, publisher, president of Citizen Outreach, a Nevada conservative organization, and of Citizen Outreach Foundation. Also a communications consultant and a diehard Republican. Welcome, Chuck. Let me start with this. Why... for the Republican Party in the state, why this insistence on a caucus? And I'm thinking, and they haven't really, I don't know, maybe they came out and said this, was the reason for the caucus the party's worries that the primary run by the state would not be on the up and up?
Well, that's what they're saying, but that argument also displays an incredible amount of hypocrisy, because they're saying that you can't trust the government-run election process for a presidential primary in February, but they are going to use the exact same process to nominate their candidates for every other office other than president in June. So, I mean, if you want to make that point, you should at least be consistent and say, okay, well, we're going to find a way to nominate our candidates through a caucus for governor and the legislature and other races up and down the ballot, not just for president.
So you're like the governor who says that this would really should be a primary. So get more people involved, the purpose behind the primary. And there's a good point to that, because I've talked to people. I was told at the last Republican caucus in one precinct, only three people showed up. And our caucuses typically have very, very low participation.
That is absolutely true. We have used the caucus in the past, with the exception of 1994 presidential primary. The Republican Party back then did do a mail-in primary rather than a caucus, and then the next presidential election they went back to the caucus. So they're comfortable using the caucus. It absolutely has lower turnout. There are much more. It requires the voters to show up in person at a specific time and spend time meeting with neighbors to discuss politics before casting a ballot. They did cancel the caucus. The party neglects to note that they've canceled the caucus twice when a Republican candidate is in the White House, or a Republican presence in the White House. They tend to just avoid the caucus and just automatically anoint the presidential incumbent, rather than, even if there are challengers to the incumbent, they've canceled the caucus twice. So, you know, it's kind of messy. It's kind of confusing. I've always been a supporter of the caucus. But again, here's the bottom line. In 2021, the Nevada legislature changed us from a caucus state to a primary state. I was opposed to it. But again, that's the rules that we were changed. If you don't like it, then you've got to elect more people who are going to change it back to a caucus state rather than a primary state.
Talk about the confusion. Some people think Republicans can only participate in the primary or the caucus, not both. And that's not true. You can vote in both the primary and the caucus if you're a registered Republican. There's no law against voting in both, but the candidates could not be in both. Why did the party not want Nikki Haley in their caucus, where the delegates go?
Well, yeah, no, great point. They did want her in there. They were charging the candidates $55,000 in order to get their name on the caucus ballot. Nikki Haley, and here is where the problem, why all of this confusion exists. It's because the Nevada Republican Party, not the Democrats, not the Secretary of State, the Nevada Republican Party told the candidates, you have to pick one or the other. You cannot participate in both. So you're correct. The voters can participate in both. They can vote in the primary on February the 6th, and they can show up and vote in person at the caucus on February the 8th. But the party did not allow the candidates to do that. Nikki Haley, for whatever, and I wasn't privy to this, so I don't know what the reasoning was, but Nikki Haley's campaign decided they were going to participate in the primary, which is going to have a much greater level of participation. Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis had chosen to participate in the caucus, and that's where the confusion came in, because the party wouldn't allow the candidates to participate in both the way voters are allowed to participate in both.
Did Nikki Haley know that by choosing the primary, she would not get delegates? Was that who got the delegates? Did that decision come later? I mean, I can't believe Haley. Okay.
Yeah, no, she went into it with eyes wide open. This was known last September that the candidates had to pick and choose one or the other, and that only the candidates who chose to participate in the caucus would potentially get delegates to the national convention. And that's where the real difference is, and why I think it was such a mistake to force the candidates to choose one or the other. They could have had the primary if they wanted. The courts have ruled that even though it's a primary state, the party can select the delegates who will attend the national convention, who will ultimately decide who the nominee is. That can be done at a separate caucus. So the party could have done both. They could have still had what they consider to be a more secure election to choose delegates, but they chose to tell the candidates they could not participate in the state-run primary, which was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor.
All right, philosophical question, Chuck. Is the state GOP interfering with the state by holding a caucus, or is the state interfering with the Nevada GOP caucus by holding a primary? I mean, on one hand, we had a caucus system for primaries before the state changed it. On the other, the state GOP is rebelling against the state primary by continuing the caucus.
Yeah, and then they could have. I don't think they should have done both. But they could have. held both and allowed the candidates to participate in both. So I don't really see it as, one or the other, the state versus the party. I mean, they could have had the best of both worlds by simply allowing all the candidates to appear on both the primary and caucus ballot. That was the Nevada Republican Party's decision, for whatever reason, to say, nope, you can't be on the primary ballot if you want to get delegates by participating in the caucus.
But with DeSantis out and Haley unable to participate, there's no point in even having this caucus with no viable competition there. And with a moot GOP primary, they should just award Trump the delegates and we move on, right?
The internal delegate selection, I'm not sure how that works, because I know it's supposed to be proportional. I know Ron DeSantis has suspended his campaign, but I believe, and I could be wrong, so please, listeners, double check this. But I believe that it's possible that if the DeSantis folks showed up at the caucus and voted for DeSantis, he may get a few of the delegates, even though he has suspended his campaign. And that's why they suspend the campaign and they don't quit all, outright. We don't know what could happen between now and the national convention. I mean, we all know anything could happen. Not expected, but it's possible that there could be a contested fight at the convention, and maybe Ron DeSantis and any of the candidates could jump back in. It's highly unlikely, but I believe it's still possible.
What do you think of this? Somebody told me, and by the way, this person hates the caucus idea this year. He says the fact that the Nevada GOP is run by two false electors does not inspire confidence, Chuck.
Yeah, I've heard that criticism, too. Matter of fact, I think I did an interview with CNN this past week about this issue. I just think that false electors issue is, it's just a sideshow. Yes, they have been indicted for it. I think it's a way of just keeping the issue in front of the press to keep Republicans on defense. But it's really a nothing burger. So what? They created a form and they submitted it to the National Archives saying they were the duly elected electors. Mm-hmm. Well, if you get something like that, you know it's not true. You just throw it in the trash.
Right, exactly. They, you know what? They, the system worked, right? There was no invasion of to destroy democracy with that at all. They submitted. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So it didn't work, and it's kind of a moot thing to go on about it. I agree. I got a break for Fox News, my friend. Please hang in. Hang on with us, because everybody's talking about this, and we certainly want to get people educated and also represent both views here, primary versus caucus. So, Chuck, can you do that? Can you hang in with us?
Absolutely. You got it.
All right, my friend. We're going to break for Fox News. Be back in a couple of minutes. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 9:32.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
John Potter here, back with you, talking with Chuck Muth, local political expert, conservative activist, who wrote 3 days ago on X, you wrote, "As far as I can decipher, Nikki Haley's entire campaign is based on her being a woman and younger than Trump. Something tells me it ain't going to fly." Chuck, does she have a chance now after losing two primaries? Does she have a path forward?
I don't see one. You never say never in politics, obviously, but I don't see a path forward. Her success in New Hampshire, I think if I remember correctly, seeing a graphic, over 50% of the voters that voted for her weren't even Republicans, because they have an open primary system there where non-Republicans can vote in Republican primaries. That's not going to be the case for her in states going forward. There's a few, but most of the states, when they come around, like on Super Tuesday, you're going to have to be a registered Republican to vote in a Republican primary, which I believe is the way it should be. So I just don't see coming out of New Hampshire that she got any kind of momentum. This Trump phenomenon is just unbelievable. We've never seen anything like this before. Probably won't ever see anything like it again in my lifetime. It's just the Democrats' plan to indict President Trump using elite lawsuits has, I think, backfired on them spectacularly, unless that was their intent all along, was to make Trump the nominee, figuring that he was going to be the easier candidate to defeat. But in the Republican primaries, unless something cataclysmic occurs, Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the Republicans.
Yeah, well, let me start. You're right about this New Hampshire primary. This is one of those crazy states where it doesn't have to be all Republicans voting in their Republican primary. They can have all these independents and people who haven't signed up with a party to vote in the Republican primary. And you're right, Republicans only comprised 49% of the people who voted in the New Hampshire Republican primary. Only 27% of those who voted for Nikki Haley in that primary were Republicans. Voters in New Hampshire do not need to register as Republican to vote in the GOP primary there. So they can get in there and sabotage pretty much the GOP choice. So 70% of those who voted for Nikki Haley in New Hampshire GOP primary, not registered Republicans, and still, you know, Nikki Haley lost by 12 points, even though so it was 55-43. And am I correct? She just has no path forward, and I don't see it. I mean, okay, if she doesn't quit now, she's got to quit after she loses in South Carolina, where she was the governor there. Do you think she'll win South Carolina?
I don't think she will win South Carolina.
Wow.
I do believe that there's also a potential black guy before we go forward here in Nevada. Nevada is unique in that voters here in the primary have the option to vote for none of these candidates or none of the above. And if all of the Trump supporters and DeSantis supporters who are participating in the caucus also vote in the primary and vote for none of the above, I know it's a long shot, but it's possible that none of the above could beat Nikki Haley, even though she's the only credible candidate on the ballot on February the 6th, and that would be tremendously embarrassing for her, and maybe she gets out after Nevada.
Well, okay, there's no logical reason for her to still be in the race today, yet she's staying in, and I have a theory on this. The reason she's staying in is so that every day, Chuck, the evening news can show you yet another quote from Nikki Haley criticizing Donald Trump. The media loves that. But she cannot secure the nomination. She cannot win a single state, and yet she persists. It doesn't make sense, but she has the media on her side. That's the swamp. They don't want, they don't have her talking and criticizing Joe Biden. The media uses every negative quote on Donald Trump that they can use. Am I being paranoid? Is this, this is part of my media plot talk here, Chuck. What do you think of that?
No, I agree. Look, one thing about Donald Trump, as much as the media hates Donald Trump, it's kind of a love-hate relationship, because you're right. They can't help but write about Donald Trump, and they're constantly looking for ways to ding him and criticize him and harass him. The media loves doing this. What you're describing was also pretty much the entire campaign of Governor Chris Christie. In the Republican primary. I mean, the only reason he got in the race was to attack Donald Trump. Now, that wasn't so much, I don't think, to feed the media narrative, as you suggest with Nikki Haley, which may be true. I think it was more personal with Chris Christie. But that's the reason these Republicans are still doing what they're doing, is they don't like Donald Trump, and they just want to be a thorn in his side and generate news stories.
Well, I don't recall. I saw a lot of Chris Christie interviews on cable news. I don't recall him saying anything negative once about Joe Biden. It was always bashing Donald Trump. And oh, surprise, they kept inviting him back on CNN to do that. Okay, well, back to the caucus primary. Let me see here. There's some problems, complaints, some that you probably haven't heard. Now, here's a problem. Voter registration at the caucus locations opens at 5 p.m. Okay, in the wintertime, 5 p.m., it gets dark. And somebody I know wants to know, why is the caucus going on when it's dark on Tuesday? She's elderly. She doesn't live in the best neighborhood, and she has to walk back in the dark. It should be done daylight hours, especially on a weekend. That's a problem I see right there.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it was 2012. But I do seem to recall that they used to do these caucuses during the day when people could travel. But even during the day, unless you allow some form of absentee balloting, you've got people who work shift work that simply can't be there even during the day. I mean, that, now you're making it inconvenient for them, if not impossible, because – and here's another thing people need to remember. I've gotten emails, John, that they said, well, my employer's required to give me time off to vote, right? Well, right, if you're voting in the primary on February the 6th. But since the caucus is a party-run operation, the law does not apply to the caucus. So your employer is not required to give you time off to go participate in the caucus at 5 p.m. on Thursday, February the 8th. And if you're out of state on business, if you're out of state attending college or something like that, or you're in a nursing home, they've made no provisions to account for those types of voters. So they are suppressing that vote, and they are disenfranchising those voters. It's legal, but it's still also a reality.
You brought up absentee. That's true. I forgot to tell people, with the caucus, you can ask for an absentee ballot, right?
You can. I was speaking with a voter last night, and they told me that they had. I know that military, there's a process you can go through if you're out of the state because you're on duty, that there's a way to participate in the caucus. But this person said they heard that if you couldn't because of you're in the hospital or something, that there was a way to participate. They went in on the party's website to try to find it and find the information on how to do that, and they couldn't find the information. So that's also a major problem, is that the party doesn't even have its act together on how this caucus is going to be conducted. And it's left all these voters angry and confused.
Yeah. And here's something else a lot of Republicans don't know. Maybe this is false, but I heard you can vote early on the caucus at the Washoe County GOP office behind the Atlantis. I don't know when it is. I think it's maybe the Monday, maybe starting Monday. But voting early on a caucus at the Washoe County GOP office, is that caucus voting? And is that true?
That's the first that I've heard of it.
Okay.
It could be, a last minute thing while they're trying to get themselves out of the mess they got themselves into.
Yeah.
But then how are the average voter going to know that if they're not listening to your show or reading, the newspaper, if that's reported in it?
I'm pretty sure because I looked this up and I think that's a fact. I'm not sure of the dates though, that they're going to be doing this. So, I'm going to ask you to bring up things that I did not bring up, if you can hang with us for just one more segment, Chuck, after a couple-of-minute break. Can you do that?
My pleasure, John.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Chuck. Bring up, Chuck, think up things you want to bring up. We're going to play some commercials and things that people should know. So we'll get back to you, Chuck. I'm John Potter, going to take a couple of minute break here on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 947.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter with Chuck Muth. Chuck, I just saw here Washoe County says they're going to live stream their primary election ballot processing for transparency. Remember when they did that in the last presidential election and the screen went blank?
Fueled all the conspiracy theories that somebody shut the camera off. Yeah, it just makes things worse.
Exactly. What I have to say about the caucus, the party has every right to set its nominating rules, but this is kind of a backroom deal that silences the voices of Republican voters who want state delegates to go to Nikki Haley. It's not the caucus itself that is bad, and we've had the caucus in Nevada for decades. It's the selecting who gets to run in it. So I'm going to let you finish with your concerns, Chuck Muth, and maybe answer that concern about that people have about this caucus and the way it's set up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking during the commercial break, one of my biggest concerns here is more tactically. The party in 2020 encouraged people to vote in person on election day. Don't mail in ballots. Don't vote early. The law was changed, and now everybody's automatically getting a mail-in ballot. And the party recognizes that they need to bank their votes. They've got a national program out there to bank the vote and encourage people to vote early and to vote by mail. What the party should have done tactically was to use this presidential primary on February the 6th. They should have gone all in and rolled out their get-out-the-vote programs, their bank-the-vote-early programs. This would have been a great preseason game to test those things out, find out what works and what doesn't work, and then adjust for the June primary. Again, find what works, what doesn't work on getting people to vote early and by mail-in ballot, and be prepared for the Super Bowl game in November. They missed a great opportunity. I remember Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard had a great saying on the McLaughlin Group decades ago: Republicans never blow an opportunity to blow an opportunity. And this was a tremendous opportunity. Remember, John, in 2020 or 22, Adam Laxalt lost a U.S. Senate seat by fewer than 8,000 votes, while 175,000 Republicans didn't vote at all. They should use this presidential primary as an opportunity to beef up their get out the vote operation, because we could have won that U.S. Senate seat and a lot of other seats if only more Republicans had turned out to vote.
You had me at the McLaughlin Group. I really missed that show.
Some of us still remember.
It's great memories of watching that on Sunday. Well, anyway, we have a lot of newcomers to Nevada, of course, and they don't get the caucus, period. Little history. Nevada has caucused for several generations of Nevada voters, and then this new primary was mandated in 2021 by a new Democrat Secretary of State and a Democrat state legislature strongly controlled by Democrats, a Democrat governor, all to mandate our state to control how and for whom Republicans vote. And it's up to them now to count the votes, which you could call election interference by partial party lawmakers who did not allow any of Lombardo's proposals to go through, like voter ID and paper ballots. All in desperation, a lot of people think, to retain or remain in control, you could say, and prop up an unpopular president. So do you prefer, if it was done right, do you prefer the primary or the caucus for the state of Nevada from now on?
If they change the law, I've always been a caucus person, which is kind of weird because...
Me too. Me too.
The Republican Party chairman, Mike McDonald, back in 2015, said he was a primary guy. He supported the primary, and now he's all in for the caucus. My preference would be the caucus, but you got to play by the rules as they're set, not by the rules as you wish they were.
I love the caucus. I think it's the one thing we don't do these days is talk to the folks on our street. And like it was in the old days where people knew everybody who lived in every house on their street. And we're not like that anymore. We barricaded ourselves in our homes. And it's a wonderful Norman Rockwell American thing for Americans in their neighborhood to get together and talk about who's going to lead their county or their nation. It's Americana. And when it's done right, it's just a beautiful thing. Now, they have tried to make things a lot easier. I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, Chuck, that you don't have to stay for hours in the caucus, which is going to be happening on, what is it, the 2nd? Yeah, let me see. No, the caucus is 8th. 8th, right. Okay. The caucus is on the 8th. Do you really have to stay for hours in this caucus? Or is it true that you can just walk in, put your ballot in, and walk out?
My understanding is I've heard exactly that if you do not wish to participate in the full caucus and go to the meeting where you're discussing politics, you could just show up, cast your ballot, and leave, which kind of undermines their argument that, well, we like the caucus because everybody gets together and they talk politics and then they cast their ballot. And now they're allowing people to bypass the caucus, but they're not allowed to participate in the primary and still get delegates. It's just that it's such hypocrisy, and it's such a nightmare from a PR standpoint for the party. It's just another black guy, and it's unforced error. It didn't have to be this way. They just screwed it up.
And the way it looks like a big setup to so many people.
And that's fixed. Not helpful. Yeah, it just fuels the conspiracy theories and everything else. Is there election fraud? Yes. It's very hard to find. It's even harder to document and even more hard to prosecute, but it has been done. But the idea that 175,000 Republicans didn't vote in the U.S. Senate race, and many of them, the excuse was, my vote won't count anywhere. They're just going to steal it.
See,
that's not good for our system of government, and I wish we would stop doing it.
All right, my friend. You donated a great deal of your time to educate the folks out there. How can people get your newsletter or whatever? Promote yourself here, Chuck.
Sure. I've got a mostly Nevada-specific conservative newsletter called Muth's Truths, and that's M-U-T-H-S, Truths, T-R-U-T-H-S, MuthsTruths.com. It's free. You can sign up, get an email out a couple times a week on different issues facing Nevada.
Chuck Muth, local political activist, author, speaker, blogger, publisher, and president of Citizen Outreach, and you still had time to talk with all of us here for close to an hour. I really appreciate your wisdom, my friend, and I hope we get to talk again. There's a lot to say about the election upcoming this year. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, John. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.